Roby Samueli has now been found. She is the director of Hope for Girls and Women in the Serengeti. She's a Tanzanian activist and a phenomenal woman as far as I'm concerned. Roby Samueli, thank you very much for joining us, ma'am. I really appreciate you joining us this evening.
Thank you. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very well. All the better for speaking to you. Especially as we speak about a very, very difficult and sensitive subject, and that is the subject of female genital mutilation and your journey with it, and the fact that you ultimately stood up and said, I am going to rise up and create a Hope for Girls sanctuary and women in Tanzania. Take us back, Roby. Take us back and connect us to what made you decide that you were going to go the route of creating this particular NGO.
Okay, thank you very much. As I said, I'm working with Hope for Girls and Women in Tanzania as director of the organization. Why did I decide to develop this organization in order to fight against FGM and other gender-based violence? It is because of what happened to me, because it reminded me when I was 11 years old, I was having my friend called Sabina. She completed her standard 7 at primary school level.
Yes.
She was cut and she died. That is where I realized the effects of FGM really, because after she died, she was not allowed to be borrowed. As a human being, because it was a curse in our community to borrow a lady who died because of too much bleeding after being cut.
Yes.
So Sabina was thrown in the bushes with all her things, her exercise books, and she was given a lot of gifts during her cut, with a lot of some money on her hair, but she was thrown with all those. So this really, it was shocked me. But I got wondered very much when I completed my standard 7. My mother told me that Roby must be cut. I questioned her, do you want me to die like Sabina? And she told me, no, you won't die. Sabina died because her parents didn't select a good circumciser. But for you, we will select a good circumciser for you. So really, I was so very disappointed, and it makes me not feel comfortable.
Yes.
And I questioned my mother. For me, I think I will die, like Sabina. And my mother told me, no, you won't die. And I questioned her, what do you want me to do? Or what could someone do so that the community could realize that she don't want to be cut? And my mother told me, no, you have nothing to do. This is our tradition. My mother, I'm your mother. I'm coming from a Maasai tribe, which we are practicing this FGM. And my mother told me she was cut. And your father is coming from a Korean tribe, one of other tribes in Tanzania, which are conducting this practice. And your aunties are all have been cut. You must agree. And you are our firstborn. You don't have any chance to escape this path.
Sure. So not only did you bear the responsibility of having to be cut because you come from that particular ethnic and cultural group, but you also bore the responsibility because you are the firstborn girl in your family.
Yeah. So. I can say from what happened to me, because I was cut, finally, with a special cutter, and I got too much bleeding, and I got unconscious for 4 to 5 hours. Even the ceremony turned into tears because they started crying that Roby has died. And the message started spread to the village that Roby has died. So then I wake up. But one woman said, oh, she got unconscious for a long time. I'm not sure if her brain will work properly. So that is where I realized what happened to me. And I questioned my mother because she was there. She was with the other relatives surrounding me. When I looked at my mother, she was having a lot of tears on her face. So she seems she was having a hard time with my father, my grandmother. So I questioned my mother, do you see? And my mother said, yeah. And I questioned her again, are you still going to do this to my young sisters? Because I was having my six of my young sisters. And my mother told me, no, I will not. What I did for that, because I knew the effect of FGM through what I saw from Sabina. Mm. So, and I was thinking maybe someone could help in your family, but I didn't find anyone because everyone was happy with that ceremony.
So let me understand, Roby. Let me understand. So yeah. Even after the death of Sabina, your injury and close to death encounter, your family, the people that love you the most, were still going to allow your sisters to go through this process?
No. Now my mother said, no, I will. They stopped to do to my young sisters because of what happened. From that day, I planned my life that I will not allow girls to be cut like it was happening to me. I have to fight against this FGM and help a girl.
So after the death of Sabina and your near-death experience,
yeah.
Are you saying to me the argument that had been used to legitimize your cutting, that this is our tradition, this is our custom, began to take second place to the possibility of the death of your sisters?
Maybe if I catch up with your question.
So let me explain my question. When you protested and you said, listen, I don't want to go through this.
Yeah.
My friend Sabina, and you have seen it happen, and it was probably not the only person that had died as a result of this process. When you said, I do not want to be part of this, the answer that came to you was that, no, you have to do this because this is our custom. This is our tradition. Yes. This is our culture.
Yes.
And not only that, you are the firstborn in this family. You must carry on with this particular custom because that is our legacy. That is our culture. But when you almost died, right? And the possibility of the family experiencing what Sabina's family had experienced, the argument that this is our custom, this is our tradition, you have to do this, seems to have taken a back seat.
Of course, yes, they changed. Now, my family changed.
Now, I must ask this, and I think it might be a painful question.
Okay.
What was the principle? Was there a fundamental principle that was willing to make their daughter face the possibility of death in the face of the evidence that had happened with Sabina? What was the principle? What was the reason that made mom and the rest of the family push you through this process until you almost died? What was the principle behind it, Roby? Because it obviously changed.
They didn't want to change when Sabina died because my mother told me this is a tradition. It is our tradition. You must be cut. And we know a good woman, a strong woman must be cut. That is what she was saying. And so we must follow the tradition.
Maybe I should ask the question in a slightly different way, Roby. What is the doctrine? What is the reason for the cutting? What is it supposed to achieve? What in terms of the custom, in terms of the law, what is the doctrine behind this cutting?
What I can say, I used to ask our traditional leaders, why are we conducting this practice? And they are saying, this is our tradition, we must do this. because we need to reduce women's sexual desire, so that a good woman is the woman who is not having sexual feelings, so that she will only stay with her husband. That is what they are believing.
Ah.
That is one of the reasons in our community.
So,
and why the traditional leaders...
So a good woman is a woman who does not have sexual desire.
Yes, that is what they are believing too. But I'm challenging them even now. How many marriages have broken in our community? And those women were cut. The marriage were broken because they were caught with other men. And they said many women. So I'm telling them FGM is not helping.
So let me understand. So the idea behind the cutting of women is to help them or make them lose their sexual, their natural sexual desire, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is one of the reasons, because traditional leaders are saying, long time ago, most of men, they are going to the war. So when most of men, strong men, went to the war, they just remain at the villages. They remain men who maybe are sick. They are not strong enough to go to the war. So after war finished, most of the women, men who came back, they found their wives are pregnant. So they are pregnant, and some they have children because they have sexual intercourse with those men, remain in the village, the sick men like that. That is why the traditional leaders, they said, they introduced this FGM.
Mm. All right. So, and as you've so very brilliantly proven that it didn't work for that specific reason, and even though there is proof, very obvious proof that it hasn't been working, in other words, to create these chaste women, these women that are supposed to be very, very good women, who don't sleep around and so forth. Clearly, that has been happening. But I need to ask another, I suppose, inevitable question, Roby, and then we'll get into some of the work that you're doing. The natural ability to desire and enjoy sexual intercourse was removed by this FGM story, right?
Yes.
Why then were women who had gone through this process still having sex?
Oh, they're still having sex because, you know, that their clitoris have cut, so it means they have reduced their sexual desire.
Yes.
But and they, now they are not satisfied with their men.
Ah.
They have no good tool. So they needed to find more men in order to make them.
I see.
Yes.
So it's not a removal of the desire, nor is it the removal of the pleasure. It is the removal of the satisfaction.
Of course, yes.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if it makes you a little uncomfortable. It's just that we don't know these things, so we might be asking questions that go. So it's not necessarily, if I understand, Roby, that your desire for sex goes away. It's just that there is no capping of it. There is no satisfaction.
Of course, yes, that is true. Because maybe let me take an example of
yes.
a woman who has not yet cut and a woman who has been cut.
Yes.
So during their sexual intercourse, I think this woman who didn't cut.
Yes.
She will feel, and the feelings are nearly for her.
Yes.
But for this woman, the feelings are not near because they have cut, but clitoris.
I understand.
So she will be coming, the feelings will come slowly, slowly, slowly. So when the feeling are starting is where a man ended.
Yes.
Intercourse.
Yes.
So what is happening? It means she may find somewhere else again in order to make her.
I understand. So the very purpose for which FGM was started was not achieved. In fact, they made things worse here.
Pardon?
I'm saying that the very purpose for which FGM was being practiced was lost, because it actually did not achieve what they wanted. It actually made things worse.
Of course, yes. They didn't achieve what they want. That is why even my question to our traditional leaders, now can you see what is happening? There is no what you want to these women. And they say yes, although now there is an issue of economic issue inside it, which is now affecting our community to continue to practice this FGM. Now the traditional leaders are starting to announce to our communities that, you know, if your daughter will be cut, it means she will be easily to be married with our clan, our traditional leaders' clan, anytime. So even parents are promised, if we marry your daughter, we will give you some cows for you to sell to solve your economic problems at your family.
And am I to understand that they are saying that if your daughter is cut, she has got better prospects of marriage?
Yes.
Oh,
so
yes, yeah.
It means now FGM is a preparation for child marriage.
All right. You need to explain that to me. So in order for a young girl or a young woman to have better prospects for marriage, which is something that would probably help her economically because it's the man that has the job or the money or the cows, you are saying to me that there is now a propensity to cut young girls because that means that the father or the family is going to receive cows because the young girls are being married off in that way.
Yes, that is what I mean. So there is an economic issue.
Yes.
That is why even now this FGM is continuing to some of our people, our community, you see. And also they have another idea to brothers, you know.
Yes.
The brothers are not working very hard for their life in order to get a good job or to be educated more in order to fight for their life.
Yes.
But some of the brothers from these pastoralist communities, they are just sitting and waiting. I have my sister, she will be married, and if we have some cows, I will have some, and then I will sell and have some money to make my business or to marry a woman, like that. You see? So through Hope for Girls and Women in Tanzania, what we are doing, we are trying to create awareness to our community about the effects of FGM.
All right. Don't go. I want to move slowly with you, Roby. I want to move
okay.
very slowly with you because we need to understand the gravity of the situation that we are talking about now. By the way, Roby Samueli is the director and founder of Hope for Girls and Women in the Serengeti. And we're talking about female genital mutilation as a form of initiation, as a rite of passage into virtuous womanhood. Yeah. And she's explained to us what the process is, what she has gone through, and what are some of the reasons for why this practice, this custom, continues to proliferate in her community. I want to understand, Roby, before we'll go into your work, but what I want to understand is when you started to protest, maybe even quietly protest, by asking certain questions of your parents, of the traditional leaders, what sort of opposition did you meet with?
Oh, I meet a lot of opposition, of course, from those people who are still holding this tradition. They look at me like enemy, their enemy, someone who is preventing them not to get to be well by cutting their daughters, so that their daughters to be
married. So you are seen as somebody that is stopping the stream of commercialism or stopping the stream of wealth creation.
Yes, for those, especially for those people who are still holding this tradition of female genital mutilation.
So you are effectively taking food out of our mouths, Roby.
Yes, but we must do, because FGM, it has a lot of effects. as because I'm coming from the same tribe, I knew this. And most of our daughters are not continuing with their further education because of this FGM. If they cut, they are not allowed even to continue with their further education. So this is why now we are still producing women who are not educated. And this tradition will be still going on because nobody who, nor any woman who will stand for her children.
Sure. So, who were the people that were seeing you as an enemy? Was it part of your community? Was it part of who were the people?
Some of the people from my community, like some of traditional leaders who are still insisting about this FGM, some of parents and relatives who they are planning to cut their daughters, they look at me like they're enemies. Because they knew, if we knew, and some they are claiming, why did she started the safer to protect the girls? Because now the girls, we have a school program where the girls now, they knew the effects of FGM, and some of the parents, when they ask their daughters, you must be cut, the girls are telling their parents, the FGM it has some effect in our body. And so they see, this is now a challenge.
What is the name of this process in the vernacular? And you have to explain to me which vernacular, what language is spoken there, and what is the name given to this custom in your language?
Esaro.
Say again?
Esaro.
Esaro. And I asked that question, Roby, because that word, Esaro, in your language will probably have different meanings to FGM as we are describing it now in English. What does it mean in, what is the language? What is the name of your language?
Sekuria.
Sekuria. What does it mean?
Kuria language.
What does it mean in Kuria language? What does Sekaro mean in Kuria language?
Saro means a cutting.
Okay.
A removal of the clitoris from a woman. Genitals.
Somebody's asking me to ask you about the four stages of this process. Would you be able to explain that to us?
We have the types of FGM.
Yep.
There are four main types of FGM. Number one is the removal of part of the clitoris or the clitoris. Type two is removing all of the clitoris and the inner labia without the removal of the labia majora. Type three is narrowing the vaginal opening by creating a seal, or formed by cutting the repositioning the labia. And number four is other harmful procedures to the female genitals, including pricking, piercing, cutting, scraping, or burning the area.
And what are the consequences? Sorry, go ahead.
Or burning the area.
Yes.
Those are the main four types of female genital maturation. So in our tradition, we have type number one, removing of all the clitoris.
Who historically came up with this idea, Roby? Historically, when you go back into the history of your people, who came up with this thing?
They told me. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
They told me that the traditional leaders came with this practice.
And were any of those traditional leaders women?
No, only men.
Yeah.
So they came with this idea of reducing the sexual feelings to women. so that these women, they could wait for their husband, even if they have gone for the war, even for many years, until they come back. They will get them waiting for them to come back so that they have their sexual intercourse with them.
So what are you teaching the girls in Tanzania, Ruby? What are you saying to them?
Okay, what I'm saying to them is that, first of all, I teach them to know the effects of FGM in their health impact. But also, I'm trying to teach them, empower them, how they could reach their dreams. Because also telling them with examples of our community, because if the girls, they want to reach their dreams, they have to make sure that they stand against this FGM for their health and for their education. So we are telling, we are using different programs. We have a school programs where we get boys and girls. So we create awareness to the boys and
What do you teach the boys, Ruby?
We tell the boys about the effects of female genital mutilation.
Yes.
And the effects of the boys marrying a woman who has been cut. The way they are suffering during the delivery time, and they could even lose their children, could die because of too much bleeding. Telling them the consequences of FGM. So even telling the boys they must marry a woman who have not yet have been cut, not been cut, so that their wives could be with a good health. Even during delivery, they could deliver properly without any problem. So also we are telling the boys not to change their minds, to work very hard on their studies so that they could continue well with their studies, even to have a good future for themselves, instead of depending to their sisters that my sister will be cut and she will be married. They have to know that even their sisters, they have their dreams. Some of their sisters, they want to be doctors, they want to be pilots, they want to be leaders of our country. So they have to leave them for them to reach their dreams. But also we are telling the boys how to attend, it is healthy for them to attend the boys' self-circumcision. Because traditionally, the boys who are cut are circumcised traditionally, they are asked to marry women who have been cut.
Yes.
So we need to reduce the percent of boys who are attending circumcised traditional. They have to have good a safe circumcision, go to the hospital and be circumcised for their health.
I'm interested, Roby, in why is it that we find that after the circumcision or the cutting that young women and girls have no more desire to go to school? Tell me why that happens.
You know what is happening when the girl are cut?
Yes.
And maybe the girl, she passed to continue with her secondary education. She may not, because the parents, they will allow her to be married easily. Because any man now could come and ask to marry a girl from that family. And they see this like it's something, a respect thing for that family, and they will allow their daughter to be married.
Yeah.
Even they don't care about her education. They see that marriage is something which is important than education.
Yes.
And this is why most of our daughters from our communities really, they didn't have a chance to continue with the education. And if you go to the community and maybe you create awareness and then maybe ask some of women even to write their names. If you have 300 women, you will only end up with maybe 100, and the 20 or and the 10 who could manage to write even their names.
How successful have you been with your initiatives? And somebody's asking me, by the way, Roby, where else in the world does this practice occur?
Pardon?
Where else do we hear of or see the practice of FGM?
The practice of FGM is occurring in many countries, even in Africa, even in Europe too, because we have some people who are moving to Europe.
Yes.
From Africa, whom they are practicing this tradition. And they are still doing it. Some they are going, they do it, but some they are coming back during their holiday. They do FGM to their daughters, and then they go back. So I think through community creation, most of the countries now, they are fighting against this FGM. I can say Even in Europe, you may find FGM because we have some our people who are living there. But FGM is mostly practiced in African countries, like Somalia, Guinea, Djibouti, Egypt, Eritrea, Mali, Sierra Leone, Sudan, Gambia, Burkina Faso, Ethiopia, Mauritius, Liberia.
What,
Kenya.
Yeah. What is the attitude?
Tanzania, Senegal.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What is the attitude to this from government?
Let me take an example of Tanzania. FGM is illegal in our country. That is why now, through our creation, our community, creating awareness to the community, now even our people are doing secretly so that people can't know what is going on. But because we are working very hard to help these girls, now if girls are forced with their parents, some are free from FGM and they are protected to the safe houses. Safe houses is another strategy of fighting against female genital mutilation, because we know number one is education to the community, but number two, for us, we believe that safe houses is another strategy of fighting this FGM. Because let's take an example of me. I knew the effect because I saw, but I worked very hard. How could I do? Maybe can I escape to town? I failed to escape even to town. Who could protect me? I didn't find someone to protect me. And so if safe houses could be there at that time, I could not be caught. I could run to the safe house.
Yes. Yes, yes. What are there still girls who are trying to run away even now? And what happens if they get caught?
I can say FGM is illegal in our country.
Yes.
And the way we create awareness to school, to the community, yes, some girls are running away, especially the girls from the family.
Yes.
Their parents are still holding this tradition and they want to cut their daughters because they have their own plan, maybe to have some cows to solve their family problems like that. So these girls are coming to have to be protected to the safe houses. Like last year, we protected 315 girls to our safe houses. And after the seasonal cutting finished, we reconcile, we do reconciliation between the parents and their daughters. And we do this in collaboration with their community, social welfare, with our police gender desk, we as HOPE, and the district medical officer's office. So we talk face-to-face with the parents, each family, telling them about the effects of FGM and that it is illegal, although they are saying it's their tradition.
Yes, yes.
So through that, we get some of the parents are ready to accept back their daughters. So we have developed a consent form where they sign to commit themselves that they will take care of their daughters and they will support them in education, etc. And we as a team, as we work in a collaboration, we also do a follow-up after every 3 months to see if the girl is doing fine. If it's in school, talk to the teacher, talk to a girl, but go back to the parent. Is she doing fine?
Nope.
And Some parents are refusing totally to receive back their daughters, and they are saying this is my tradition, and it is a curse to have a woman who is not being cut in our family. So we don't want to receive that girl. So for that situation, we are not hand over those girls. So these girls are remaining to the safe house while we still need a time to reconcile with their parents. So if they are supposed to go to school, we take them to school, primary school or secondary school. If they didn't have an opportunity to continue with the secondary education, we join them with vocational.
So, Roby, I mean, I'm sorry, we've run out of time. How do people get in touch with you? Do you have a Facebook page? If somebody's been listening to this conversation, wants to know more, maybe support you or whatever, how do people get in touch with you, Roby?
Yeah, people can get us through this number or through, we have also a website.
Yeah, give me the website. Give me the website.
Okay, let me give you the website. We have the Facebook, we have website, we have Twitter.
Okay, give it to me. What is your Twitter handle? Give me the Twitter handle.
The Twitter handle is Hope for Girls.
At Hope for Girls. All right. Hope for Girls at Hope for Girls Tanzania. And then give me the website.
Okay, I'm giving you the website. I'm sorry, it was stuck a little bit.
All right, it's fine.
You
see, because there might be somebody who wants to help you, who wants to know a little bit more, somebody who might want to donate something or something of that nature.
Yeah.
All right, Roby, I've run out of time, but give me that Twitter handle again.
It's Hope for Girls Tanzania.
TV. Okay. All right. Roby Samueli. Yeah, I've got it. I'll read it out. Roby Samueli, thank you very much for talking to us. We really appreciate your time and your courage. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And really, this is my website, Hope for Girls. Hello?
Yes, I've got it. I've got it. It's hopeforgirlsandwomen.wordpress.com.
Hopeforgirlsandwomen.wordpress.com.
I've got it. All right, Roby, thank you very much.